To keep with the theme today, I'm going to show a spiritual DVD that will really motivate you guys. Okay? Oh, by the way, I work with, I'll introduce myself. I'm Tony Prothman. I work with Campus Crusade as kind of a part-time deal. And also Youth for Christ with over here in Columbus, Nebraska. So we work with in high school with a lot of unchurched kids and whatnot. So, and today's topic's going to be, I got like devotionals, dating, and then possible monies or money issues that you're facing. Which one drew you guys to this conference? Was it the devotionals? Any raise your hands? I mean, why did you pick this?
Financial.
Financial? Anybody else?
What did they? Financial and devotional.
Financial and devotional? Well, you guys, you got to say something. This is going to be a course.
I didn't pick anything.
You just fell into it.
Yeah.
It said 14 to 19 year old, and that where you ended up.
Yeah, that's kind of what led me. I kind of let you know the last minute. So.
But what about you? Is Caleb?
No.
All right. So we'll see. I don't know. See, I've got a lot of stuff, so I don't know if we'll get through everything today. So. And it's going to be a lot of questions and answers, and I guess what's on you guys' hearts, too, so.
You probably have a pretty broad range here, people in high school or finances aren't like...
Yeah, see, that's...
In high school, it wasn't that big of a deal, whereas in college, there were some months where I wasn't sure if I'd be able to pay tuition or not, to the point where I'm at, I have a full-time job and I'm single and I save a lot of money. I don't have a whole lot of expenses, so
yeah.
The whole financial range, I think, for a lot of people will be different.
Oh, here it comes the screen. Can you see it? Anybody recognize the show? How many of you guys watch this regularly or seen it? So this is news to me. I just seen this year.
I don't. The movie or the show?
Well, the show. This is just some clips from it.
Yeah. Those are fun. I'd do that.
You'd do that.
Yes, that would be some. I would do that. I'd do that too.
You got some bold and daring.
And that.
Now, wasn't that inspirational?
Would I do some of those stupid things?
Now, you can't tell anybody I showed that here, though. Because we're supposed to be doing, like, Bible study. Do you guys know anybody that's done, like, stunt like that? Some of you said, like, Brian, you said you might try some.
Sure. I have friends that do that stuff, too.
Oh,
One of my friends, he actually was a sponsored skateboarder, and... He did stuff like that all the time. And, like, their pain tolerance is just to where, like, they get hurt like that, they don't care. Like, it doesn't affect them. I don't understand it.
Do you think these guys are thinking about spiritual things? Or just living life to the fullest? Probably not.
I think they're searching for that next thrill.
Searching for that next thrill. Oh, yeah. As far as decisions made, do you think there's any, like, even, have any of you ever made bad decisions in your life?
Yeah, sure.
Give me examples. Let's say one that just sticks out in your mind. What about you, Aaron?
Bad decisions? Probably, at least since I'm here financially, I know I've made some bad decisions financially, just spending money on things I probably shouldn't have.
Okay.
It would just be like trips, you know, with friends, you know, stuff like that.
So you got yourself into debt?
Yeah. I mean, not debt, but I mean, I'm low on money.
So. Oh, okay. But you haven't. Well, then that's not real bad. I've seen college kids where they just horrendous amount of debt.
Yeah.
Street signs or something like that, I guess, would be an example.
Little, you could consider mischievous stuff, but breaking the law in itself,
sure.
But you don't think of it as that. A little bit of background quick. I want to know is where are you going to school at? And if you grew up in as far as a church home, or if you did, as far as, you know, when just a little bit as far as spiritual, well, just, I guess, where you go to church at, and if you are going to church, like I said, maybe why you came here, just something like that, because I just want a little bit of background on you. Go ahead, Brian, real quick.
My name is Brian Fisher. I'm 23 years old. I just graduated from the University of Nebraska in December. I now work full-time. I got my degree in accounting, and I now work full-time at Koch Industries in Wichita, Kansas, in their corporate accounting department. And I'm kind of in the process of still finding a church because I'm gone at least every other weekend, either here or visiting my sister in Kansas.
Today's topic, we'll start off with your handout there, is daily devotions. And I want to find out where you guys are at. See, our speaker this morning, what was his name?
Dwight.
Yeah, Dwight. He talked about how he and his daily devotions, how it's so very important with him. And I liked what he had to say this morning because it ties in with what we're doing here too. Everything that you do in your life can be centered around daily devotions. We're going to talk, it could be dating, whether it's going to be financing, whether you decide to buy a house, whether you decide to go to the career, where you want to go to college, who you want to pick as your spouse. Everything stems from that. I was going to ask a question first. As you guys are younger now, all of you here supposedly have accepted Jesus Christ, and I think is your number one priority as far as the most important decisions you make in your life. What do you think, what would you put as your second and third most important decision that you're going to make in these years? Career? Spouse? Anything else?
Major?
House? Financial decisions? I meant major. Does it impact you for the rest of your life?
I think for Aaron said it, it's your career, which is basically what you're going to be doing for the rest of your life until you retire, and then your wife, which will pretty much go show what direction you're going to go, whether you have 10 kids or 0 kids, or move or don't move. So those are two things you'll have for the rest of your life.
I will put this as it's the second most important decision that I made in my life. And I'll put it as daily devotions. Being committed to daily devotions. And then I will put picking my spouse as being the second and third most important decision. You guys say career? The reason I don't say career and college is because he talked this morning a little bit about where's your perspective at? Is it eternal or is it worldly? Are you constant? All you're thinking about is a career, or are you thinking worldly? He gave an example of one guy. He says, "Well, how's your business going?" And the guy says, "Oh, I want to tell you what I've been doing with this other couple I've been sharing." He was thinking spiritually. He didn't even care what he was doing. All that, seek first the kingdom of God, and all else will follow. And that's, if I can impress that thing on your heart, that's what's on my heart. Because when I got a hold of this, and I actually got a hold of this just in the last 5 years. And it's totally changed my life. It really has. And I was going to tell you all. Anybody that can guess what my career is, I'll give them I'll figure out a gift for you. I got some stuff here as far as free gifts. And you think about it. If you guys can guess what my career is as far as what I do to make a living at. I don't make a living at doing this. So actually it takes all my money. So that's what I want to start with in here is we're going to go quickly is go through some stuff that will help you to create a devotional life. And to wear some things that can ground you in it and get you started in it and get you in committed to doing it for the rest of your life. He talked a little bit this morning about a group of men. He says the hardest thing they do is doing devotionals. It's the hardest thing that I do. And I think, all right, here's a question for you. How many of you here do devotionals? Or no, I'm going to put this question to you. How much time do you spend in a week reading your Bible, and as far as, and I'm saying, and I'll even put in prayer, too. And not counting Bible study and not counting going to church. Total.
2-3 hours.
You spread it over the week. About anybody else? About you, Sam? All right.
Probably a little less.
A little less?
An hour, maybe.
So maybe, do you regularly do 10 minutes a day, maybe? Or like 1 hour once a week?
I'll pray every night, and then sometimes my morning devotions are on and off. I'll do them sometimes.
Sometimes you don't?
I'm probably where Grant is, I would say.
What about you, Paul? This is interaction. You got to talk. Not that much. Pretty much.
Could you define devotion for me?
Okay. Devotion. All right. Devotional is you're spending time in God's Word, and then actually reading it by yourself, and meditating and thinking on it, and in prayer about it. Is what I'm saying. I'm not talking about reading other books. I'm not talking about. Like you said, well, prayer has a partially to it, but basically your personal time with God.
Okay, but it has to follow that format? Because if that's the case, I'm probably pretty sporadic. I mean, it's not so formulaic for me. I'm next in line, so I mean, regularly communing with God. But sometimes that means journaling, sometimes that's prayer, sometimes it's on the way to work because I'm so busy. But there's a constant dialogue going on. Oftentimes that involves the Bible, sometimes it involves literature. So I think my idea is maybe just a little different.
But then I want to turn that focus in. And I'm talking specifically is quiet time, not when you're driving, you know, when you're distracted. It's quiet time is what I'm talking about. What about you, Matthew?
I'd probably be about, for the whole week, maybe about an hour and 45 minutes.
Okay, an hour. Alan?
Maybe about an hour.
Okay. But you're all doing some, so that is your, I'll say you're way ahead of 50 to 60% of the people in the church. Honestly, I get the older people, and he talked about living a life and dying. People are sitting in the church, and they're going through the grind, and they're not in touch with the Holy Spirit. They go to be fed every week to church instead of listening to worship and whatnot. I see, and I truly believe that. But let's start off here. Some verses that's impacted my life is Joshua 1:8. It says, "This book is the law, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosper, and then you will have success." Okay. I've heard fairly a lot of sermons on this. People tend to pick this one out, and I love it too. But what jumps out on you, what jumps out at me is meditating. What comes to mind when you talk about meditating? The world talks about meditating as you meditate on your third eye and you sit quietly and you hum and chant and all that. But what's the Bible talking about when it says meditate?
To me, it seems more of a focus. Like you take the law, the book of the law, right, the Bible, and you sit there and you're constantly focused on it as opposed to other things of the world, school, work, whatever you have.
The what I get from Scripture as far as meditating is it's quiet time. See, a lot of us pray, but how many of us sit and listen? Some of you talk about journaling. The best way that I find for God to talk to me is to meditate and pray, and then I'll start writing in a journal about what Scripture I'm looking at. And I ask God to talk to me, and words start, and this works for me, words start flowing as far as questions start popping in my mind. Well, you know, what this is doing, what that's, you know, what God's trying to talk to me personally. This is what I do. But this verse here is interesting. It says day and night. And he's talking about to Joshua. A little background on Joshua. Everybody knows about when he had to take over as far as after Moses. Moses couldn't cross into the promised land, and he crossed, and he gave it over to Joshua with this pick to lead Israel into across the Jordan and to lead the people. And this is what God is telling him to do for the rest of his life, to lead this nation, for the vision in his life. And he's actually telling him what to do. What's the promise in this? What's the promise in this verse? I always look for promises.
Success.
What?
Success.
Right at the very end. Your way will prosperous, and then you will have success. Does it say, as far as success, being an electrician, electrical engineer? It's just in general. It's not talking about career. I believe it's talking about marriage. It's talking about your personal walk. It's talking about your career. Everything. Is it necessarily talking about money? No. I put a bunch of verses down here as far as in Proverbs. It says, Proverbs 1:7-8, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. A fool despises wisdom and instruction." These guys on this little video I showed you, would you consider them? I would consider them kind of foolish. They're spending their life, they're making videos, they're making money, but are they spending their time as far as doing, seeking God, I meant, and more important things? To fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. What does fear the Lord mean? He talked a little bit this morning, even that, Dwight did. What does fear the Lord mean to you guys? We live in a very safe community, the United States. And he talked a little bit about this morning, even about living under grace. I think we do. We live a lot under grace. Do we actually fear God? Number one there says, do you have a vision for your life? Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. It's hard for you guys. Some of you guys are out of college now, and you've picked a career, okay, but do you have a vision for your life? What do you think a vision for your life could be?
You could have step-by-step plan where you want to be in 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and how, whether that's where you want to be marriage-wise, kids-wise, career-wise, spiritual-wise.
Yep. Do you have one?
Not yet.
Thought about it?
My vision ended at college, and now I'm
trying.
I haven't thought about it yet. I kind of just like unloaded after college and kind of just been like blank as far as that goes.
But I know you're here this weekend, so you are searching.
Yeah.
So hopefully. What command did Jesus Christ give us before he ascended into heaven? Go and make disciples of men? Could that be a vision for your life? He talked about this man here has spent his whole life discipling. There's two things that verse tells you about. It's leading people to Christ and discipling. That's become my vision in my life. My career is second. Any guesses on my career? What?
Banker.
Banker? Oh, wow. No, not even close. Not even close. Anyway, we'll keep going. That's your one try. Get one try. Here's something else. Do you have a mentor in your life or someone older you can talk to, ask questions to, and ask advice about? You've moved away from home, and I would suggest for somebody as a mentor, I would find somebody that is older than you, that has a vision for their life, who is in discipleship, is doing his own personal discipleship, that can help you make decisions in your life and someone to bounce ideals off of, give counsel to. I think as far as young men, I think that's very important. Find somebody in your church, you know, someone that you can relate to, and ask them. So many men, I think, they're afraid that they don't have anything to contribute. They have a lot to contribute. But they have to have something going on in their life, too, as far as if you want somebody mentoring. You know, as far as picking somebody, you want to pick, like I said, somebody that has personal devotion, that, you know, they don't have to be perfect as far as in everything in their life, but someone seeking God. I think that's very important as far as your personal walk and to also to hold you accountable. That's a big thing with guys. We need somebody holding each other accountable. You need somebody to partner with. And also here, I got three, and I'll talk a little bit about this. Where are you getting your truth from? Here's a question for you. In this room, who believes that the Bible is the inherent Word of God, infallible, absolutely no error, no errors in it? Does anybody disagree with that? Disagree with that, Paul? No. So, okay, my question to you. If you guys believe this is the... I don't have a Bible with me. The Bible is the inherent Word of God, and it's actually God's Word that is speaking back to us. Do you think we can trust it? And he talked, Dwight talked a little bit more about it. He put his complete trust, and he had to step out in faith when he went to the Philippines, stepped out on faith. And he put everything on the line. But we can trust God. But God's waiting on us. If you ever notice this, we are never waiting on God. If you think about that, he's always waiting. He'll take you where you're at. Next one. Poverty and shame shall be to him that refuses instruction. Some of these proverbs, you know, I've just thrown these in here. This is one that changed my life here too. 16:3. Commit your work unto your Lord, and your plan shall be established. You have to physically take a step and commit your life. You've committed your life to Christ, but you have to commit what the rest of your life you're going to do as far as... you're not all going to be in a ministry, but you can all work to further the kingdom of God. Would you consider that correct? Is that something that you could strive for as far as a vision in your life? And then 16:9 says, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. Has anybody ever seen God actually open up doors for them to where something you wanted to do as far as you seeing God work, as far as getting into college, you know, trusting in him?
I was deciding whether to go back to public school full time, and I couldn't decide, so I prayed about it, and he started giving me the desire to go back to public school, so I think that's where he wanted me to be.
Okay.
I was just 6th grade, so... But I was pretty excited that I felt like God was working.
Okay. A little story I had to share with you. About 3 years ago, I committed my life as far... I was a Christian, but I said I committed my whole life to God. I said, I will do whatever you want. I am tired of sitting in the church and going to church and going through the daily grind like he talked about today. And I committed myself as far as to Christ. I said, I will go. And these verses here, I memorized them as far as... there was the verses that jumped out at me. And the big thing with me is I have never shared my faith with any... Well, I've shared my faith with my family members, but it always turned into an argument. I've never seen any results. So I knew I was doing something wrong. So I committed to the fact that, to Lord, and that I wanted to share my faith. I wanted to see people come to Christ. That was my passion. And I didn't know how I was going to do it, didn't have a plan. And I started working with Youth for Christ, and within a couple of months, we had this event going on to where we called it Project 7, where we brought all the kids in from the different high schools, close to 1,000 kids, and shared the gospel with them. And then we were dispersing them through different churches there that were representative. And I was looking for my niece in this crowd because I wanted to see if she had accepted Christ. So I was kind of walking through the crowds, and I found myself at the front. And the speaker says, all these kids come to the front and wanted to accept Christ, but all the people in the church were in the back taking care of other people. And I found myself, and he says, these volunteers are going to help you as far as leading you to Christ. And all of a sudden, I found myself standing there. And he pointed at me. He says, and I was with a couple of other people from Youth for Christ. So that's the reason I was there. And they divided up the kids between three of us. And I sat down and I had three kids with me. And we prayed the prayer. I talked to them and they accepted Christ. I did not expect it. God opened the doors for him. He gave me the words. I didn't say the right words. I meant it was pretty poorly done as far as I was dead. But God put the three kids in front of me. He gave the desire, but I was there to be used. But I looked at it as an open door. And since then, through Youth for Christ, we're seeing close, and I work with a group of other men, we see close to anywhere from 50 to 80 kids come to Christ a year. I partner up with some other people that we work together. And with Campus Crusade, we've seen probably three people this year I've personally seen as far as led to Christ. But I've stepped out on faith, and that's something the doors have been opening up for me. But it starts from the fact that I committed to Christ. I committed my life. Any other guesses on what I do? Oh, come on. All right. What are some practical steps to daily devotionals? I thought about this. And I wrote down some things here. Commit to a regular Bible study. Okay, how can that help you? You need to have fellowship. I think you need to be doing a regular Bible study with some other people of your own age. Big one is find a partner, someone to hold you accountable. Accountability is the big thing. You know, you're going to go up and down in this area. Everybody does. I struggle with it. I still do. I go up and down. It seems like people always do. Prayer, as far as turn it over to God. Commit it. Commit to Him, you know, to speak to you. Make a lifelong commitment between you and God. That's what I was talking about. I got an example here. This is another thing that changed my life is Bill Bright. Does anybody know who he is? He does. Anybody else? Alan does. He's in Campus Crusade. He started Campus Crusade 1949, I think. He heard a message from a lady called Harriet Myers about personal devotion and committing your life to Christ. He was already a Christian, and he was so convicted that he went to her house that night, and three other guys went with him also. They spent the whole night in prayer and praying, and out of this prayer, night of prayer, they wrote up a contract between God and themselves, and they have a bunch of stuff in this contract where they were committing their life to Christ. They would do whatever He wants them to do. And in this contract, he said, I will commit to a 1 hour a day in prayer and devotions. And through his life, he's now passed away like in 03. Literally, millions of people have come to Christ. I don't know of anybody that's impacted this world in this century more than Bill Bright. And some of you guys haven't even heard of him. I'll put him up there at the top. Through his ministry. His ministries is it's spurred off into different ministries. They're into most all the colleges across the United States, across the world. They do mission trips. It's a huge organization. But it started from one guy committing his life to Christ and doing daily devotions. And that's how far you can go if you totally commit to God. And Dwight is a huge example this morning too. He did it the same thing. He committed, and I cannot imagine the impact that he's had on a lot of people. Any other questions in that area?
How do you find enjoyment from it? How do you keep going back? Because it's something, for me personally, it's something that I did growing up, and my parents rewarded us for if you had 30 Bible studies, you got this, whatever. I mean, it was just something that they used to try to keep us in the Word and keep us, you know, reading. And after I graduated high school and moved out, there was not that like a candy bar really made me want to read the Bible as much as, you know, having my parents' approval probably made me want to. But I think it was more, I did it not as much for myself as for my parents or for...
You say, how do you get a deeper relationship to where you want to?
Yeah, where you desire to spend the hour. Because I think that's something where I sit down and I read. I read through it. I see what's there. I try to find an application to do, but I don't come away with that desire to come back the next day.
Here's a simple one. The question is, how do you keep your devotionals alive? Is that how you want to say? Get a vision for your life. Get something that you cannot do without God to where you're searching. And you need His help. You're crying out to Him. By regularly doing... Here's some of the benefits of as far as meditating. By regularly doing daily devotions, you should draw a deeper hunger for God. And if you're stepping out on faith, here's another one. When was the last time you shared your faith? Have you seen anybody come to Christ? 2 summers ago? Okay, that's awesome. How about anybody else? Lately, have they shared their faith?
3 years ago.
Is that a priority in your life? There again, stepping out on faith. When you start sharing your faith and start giving it away, it creates excitement in your life. I shared the gospel with a young gal in Crusade about 3 weeks ago. She sat down with me. She had been sexually abused. She started telling me this whole story. She started spilling to me, and you know, I was just like overwhelmed. And the Lord just said, "Do you know Christ? Do you know if you're going to heaven?" She said, "Well, I don't know." And we sat down with her with another young lady that I was mentoring, and she started to share the gospel with. We shared the gospel. She accepted Christ. Give it away. If you're not giving the Scripture away and trusting God to bring people to Christ, it's nothing that you do. I think your daily devotions will be dry. I do. And as far as a vision in your life, something, you know, daily devotions, you should get a clarification of what you want to do with your life. God wants to talk to us. He wants a personal relationship with us. Does that kind of help?
When you talk about sharing that with people, like I shared with a friend, or wasn't sharing, but we talked about it, and he's just very skeptical. Sometimes they start ready, that almost just makes you get worse. Because it almost makes me question when he brings up actually pretty good points about why you shouldn't.
Okay, one One thing I've learned about sharing my faith, I will never argue with the other person. I don't care what religion they are or what their background is. I argued with so many people. I'd get off on this tangent, you know, well, what about purgatory? You know, so I start talking about purgatory and all this. Well, you can't pray somebody into heaven, you know, and on and on and on. And I argued with them. I will never argue with anybody as far as sharing my faith. I will ask them what they believe, and I say, this is what I believe. And I do it real simple. I share, I use a little booklet that Campus Crusade puts out, and I do the exact same thing. I don't add nothing to it, don't take nothing away from it. It's a real simple thing as far as sharing your faith. I carry one of these. I carry one of these in my wallet. Just to prove to you I do, I just grab my wallet thinking I do. And I strategically have them placed. Here's a hint. I have one placed in my toolbox. No. There's a hint. I grew up on a farm, but not a farmer. Where was I? As far as I was talking about daily devotions. Sharing your faith. Get serious about it. The people that you know are not going to heaven. You have the most important thing they need. When you start to realize that, you start putting that into your daily devotion. Say, Lord, who do you want me to talk to today? Who am I going to see today? Divine appointments, what I want to say. God has divine appointments. We miss divine appointments every day. I do too. We all do. God's got appointments. We walk right past them. We don't engage them. And I still do it. I know I do. Something else that'll come out of daily devotions, it'll sharpen your discernment. Talk a little bit about financing. You have trouble with financing? Start doing your daily devotions. Find a mentor as far as mentoring with your finances. You'll start creating discernment. Discernment as far as sharing the gospel, you talk a little bit about Grant. You'll discern that, say, well, you know, this person that you're sharing, you'll discern on what you should be telling them, you know, as you're sharing the gospel, you listen to what they're saying, you know, and try to, you know, I'm just saying discernment. Something to share, Alan? No. Here's another thing for you. This is a very good. Did Jesus do daily devotionals?
He didn't have the Bible to read per se, but
talk to God regularly.
He regularly, if you look through Scripture, look for it. Feeding of the 5,000, he was with over 5,000 people. He, after he was done there, he sent all the disciples in a boat to go across the river, and he left and went to do went alone to be alone with God. And that was right after that he eventually walked on water. That's how he caught up with the disciples. They were in the boat, and that's when he met them later. As far as he went off by himself, you'll see it a lot in Scripture. Garden of Gethsemane, before he died on the cross. He's very, you know, everybody knows that. But you'll see it. There's times that the apostles said to you, Lord, Lord, where have you been? We've been looking all over you. All these people are waiting for you. He goes, he was off alone by himself. So if Jesus Christ did it, he sees the need of it. How much more do we need it as fallen men? Sinful nature. Let's cut there. I wanted to talk a little bit about unless there's any other questions. Come on back in. We're going to start. Let's talk about dating.
We're going to take a walk and talk to my son for a little bit. So we do appreciate your time. Okay.
All right. Dating. How many of you guys are in a relationship? Has any of you, as far as been in a relationship, dated? Why do we date? Huh? Because we like girls? Human nature?
Everyone else does.
Because everybody else does? Looking for a wife, okay. I'll say you guys are, most of you guys are out of college, and that I would say you're old enough as far as to get married. I thought we'd probably have more high school kids, but we don't. We have just basically Caleb here. What's that? And you're, well, you're freshly out. Yeah, you're right.
He's a senior.
Senior, all right, senior. Is it a good ideal to set boundaries as far as dating?
Yes.
Definitely. From experience?
Yes.
True. I want to get your guys' feedback from this this dating area. I've been married for 26 years, so I haven't dated, but it's very scary. I remember it being very scary. I was very didn't want to talk to girls. I married the one woman that I dated, so didn't date a lot. And I think that's possible. People say that, well, how do you, the world says that you have to date around in order to find your spouse. I think it's the other way around. You can pick your spouse and then date and court them and then lead into marriage. You can make a decision, I mean, before you, if you do it correctly, as far as who you're going to pick for your spouse, you know, you can. What I'm trying to get at is she marriage material for you? When you go on a date, are you a leader or are you passive? When you go on a date, do you say, well, to your partner, where do you want to go? And she goes, well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? Well, I don't know. Where do you want to go? Do you have a plan for your date?
Depends on
what time. Not always.
But sometimes it's on the fly. Sometimes you have it planned out.
Sometimes you have it. As a job for men, we're to be the romantics. Really? Has anybody told me, give me a story that they've done something romantic as far as dating? You guys have done. You put some real thought into it.
I made breakfast for a girl once. Showed up during the Saturday morning with flowers, made her breakfast.
Oh, that's awesome. Have you guys ever seen your dad do anything romantic as far as for your mom?
Yeah. No.
You guys catch it? That's my son. If you didn't catch it. Have any of you guys ever done anything romantic for your mom? Like you started to talk about Mother's Day. Well, not, romantic is not. You're right. That's the wrong word. All right. Excuse my.
Yeah.
Something kind for your mom.
Something that either your mom, your girlfriend, or somebody really, your guy friends or whatever, you can find something that one of your friends or siblings or whatever really enjoy and just randomly do it for them, not for any special reason, like something like Valentine's Day, everyone's expected to do something. And I've always hated Valentine's Day because it's like, so do I have to love you on one day?
Yeah.
Do I have to like you on one day? Or can it be, you know, March 17th or April 23rd, I don't know, just some random day where you say, she had a bad day yesterday, so you show up with flowers or candy or, if she likes something, if you have like an inside, our first date, I gave her a Tic Tac when you show up with like, Tic Tacs or something like that. And that really, shows that you're thinking about them and that you care not just on the days that you're supposed to care type of thing.
Oh, sure, absolutely. As far as Christian men, let's go back to boundaries. How do you know that you've crossed the boundaries as far as dating? What kind of boundaries do you guys set up?
Well, I guess each relationship is has been a little bit different. When you know that you cross them is when you have to ask yourself, did I just cross it? Well, if you have to ask yourself, well, then you probably should be talking to your girlfriend or your
yep.
and say, what did you think about that? Was that, what if this relationship is based on Christ, is that something that we should have done or that should have happened? And if they can, and if they're like, oh yeah, definitely, and you're still thinking to yourself, well, maybe you need to go talk to your mentor or, your parents or whatever and say, what do you think? And is that something that if you, were dating mom again or you were dating dad again, is that something that you would have set for yourself? And you can get some pretty good insights from that.
Okay, here's another thought to think about. As you're dating either your future spouse or possibly somebody else's future spouse. And that, whether it'll be a girl, if you think about it, both of you, as far as dating, the person that you start dating, they have an area as far as how far they have gone in dating, and you have an area as far as you have gone in dating, which I'm talking about is far as sexuality. They may have had sexual intercourse, you may not have. They will, a lot of times, will want you to come up to where they are. So think about that as you're dating. You can always, when you're looking at your partner, when you're making out. All right, is making out a good thing to do? Okay. Okay. Here's what I want to say, and I'll say this: if you're sexually aroused, you've gone too far with your date. I believe that. Because you're just the next step to having intercourse. I believe you are. Because once you start to get the passions going, as far as young men, you want to conquer, it's hard. Any other boundaries? There's something that you need to talk about before it comes up. And as men, you should initiate it and not be passive. But this will tie into, go to the last page. Well, them two pages I got in between there, that's something that you guys can look over. Ways to be intimate without having sex. Gives you some ideals, and the other one, creative dating ideals. Things that you can do. Something that you can look through. We ain't got time to go through that. But I want to get to the last page, whereas I got this off of Focus on the Family, and it's from Alistair Begg. You can go and listen to this whole message. There's right at the top there, the name of it is A Search for a Godly Spouse, and it gives you a name. If you go on their website, I would recommend you go and listen. And that's another thing. As far as dating, start searching out. Start reading books. There's stuff out there on the internet. Be creative. As far as choosing your spouse. But he gave a list of what you should be looking for in a spouse. What do you think is the number one thing you should be looking for as far as a woman and as far as a character?
Personal faith
in Jesus Christ. Same faith that you have. Unequally yoked. It's a, I think, a very, very poor choice. Because if you think that you can eventually evangelize them as you go on, something about, so it might work, it might not work. 9 times out of 10, it won't work. Something about it, when you have a boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband and wife trying to evangelize somebody else, it doesn't work. Just by personal experience. Here's a young man that I know of at college, and he just accepted Christ this year, a couple months ago, and he's in Campus Crusade. And I know he was dating another girl from Campus Crusade, and I know her too. Well, it's actually both are friends of my son's. And Danny is his name. And anyway, another person from Campus Crusade led him to Christ, and he started telling me the story about afterwards. And Ashley, which is the girl, you know, she had accepted Christ, and she had been witnessing to this Danny, of no avail, nothing seemed to click. And after she accepted Christ, Danny told his girlfriend, "Actually, I accepted Christ." She goes, "Awesome." She goes, and he started telling about it. She goes, "Danny, that's all the stuff that I told you." He goes, "I don't know. It just seemed different when he was telling me." But there was an example, but a happy ending. He is growing in the Lord. They're still dating. You know, they might eventually get married. Personal faith. Second thing he talks about looking for in a spouse. Demonstrating integrity. What's something like that? What do you think he's talking about? Integrity. Is she honest? We're looking at characters. This is stuff that you can look at before you even start dating somebody. Usually you're friends with somebody before. You can observe them without dating and make the choice before. Do you want to pursue her or not? You guys are the pursuer. If you got a girl pursuing you, I don't know. A little nudge there. Girls get tired of waiting. They do. Love sacrificially. Has a sense of humor. Actually, I'm going through the wrong list. Huh. You guys just saw that. I was going through the guys' list. Those are the, well, all right. I thought that wasn't driving. A lot of these character traits are the same thing. I'm sorry. Posing inner beauty. Do you guys just look on the outward? I mean, guys are looking at, first thing you look at as far as a girl is does she look like, right? Or wrong? Pretty right. Guys do that, but you got to train yourself. You got to look past that, you know.
Yeah, well, girls always get mad at you when you say, like, you look for the pretty girls, but how are you even going to, like, and what he thinks is pretty is different than what I think is pretty. And so, but there has to be at least some physical attraction before you even, like, get to know them that way.
There's a verse on that somewhere. It's like, if you don't have passion, there's no point in continuing.
Yeah, you're right. I would say that.
You could have passion for their interview.
But in order to, I guess,
you know, you
probably
might initiate, though, if you don't think they have
higher
beauty.
That's
like stalking.
Stalking, not a good thing. Someone that displays kindness. You ever see that when somebody just... As a parent, I'll see young girls, and the first thing I'll notice is, and I'll see that, oh, she's just so sweet. I can tell she has a really kind heart. And I can look at it at a young girl. And that's something that jumps out at me. Does she, you know, as far as when you're dating somebody, you should also view her in different situations. Honestly, as far as... does she like to be around children? You know, something to think about. Or is she all focused on herself? Have a sense of humor. My wife, I love her sense of humor. She's carried us through. She has a much better sense of humor than I do. And my son Alan, he's inherited it. They have a lot more sense of humor than they always try to get me as far as I don't have the sense of humor. I don't know why. I have to work on it. But I love my wife as far as her sense of humor. She always does. Then there's number three. It says it talks about initiative takers and attitude of submission. I want to talk about this submission, guys. This society has totally screwed this up, and churches, people always think women are supposed to be submissive. It is not true. You know, they want to be, the Bible talks about a spouse as being someone standing beside you, not behind you. Always think of your wife or your partner standing beside you. You will have to, and the Bible talks about in is the helpmate, is the fact that your wife will complete you. My wife completes the faults that I have. And then vice versa, I complete her. If you look at it that way, you try to get away from the submission deal. It's women have got a raw deal there, really have. And you'll have to struggle with that as far as, you know, with dating. You want to be a leader, but you don't want to be a dictator. I'll put it that way. And on the other turn, as far as dating, and this is what I want to get into, are you marriage material? Everybody's looking at the women. What about you? Are you marriage material? Personal devotions. Do you have a strong faith? You know? Are you a man of character? Do you have a sense of humor? Are you always uptight? Are you a leader? Are you passive? You know, fight that passiveness. Any questions there? I'm going to get rambling on. I want you guys, go and download this. You just listen to it on a computer. And search this out, this message. I haven't done it justice. He does, Alistair Bay, he does an awesome job with this message. Like I said, all you need is the name of you got the name of the DVD. And then you just have to go to Focus on the Family. There's a website on there. And then even his name, you can punch in his name. It should come up. Any other questions? Hey, anybody decided? Any other guesses on what I do?
Real estate.
Nah. Like to be.
Contractor?
Nope. I'm Columbus. Done it for 30 years. 29, actually.
Plumber.
What?
Plumber.
No. Think toolbox. All right.
Tools?
Cars.
Auto mechanic?
No. Auto body. I paint cars. Fix wrecks. I fix all these wrecks that you guys drive. You ran Sebastian into stuff. Kids all the time. I mean, why I'm saying that is the simple fact that give you guys a little indication. This is auto body is not my life. Sharing the gospel is my life. That's where my passion is. Discipleship. You know, getting a chance here to maybe discipleship, maybe, you know, giving you guys a few key. Maybe you can take something away from what I said. Hopefully it wasn't too boring. But that isn't what defines me. And get a vision for your life. That's the most important thing. I showed you some of these books that have impacted my life. I suggest you get something. Here's a tape set that I got from Charles Stanley when I first got on devotionals. And I listen to this at least once or twice a year just because I want to get it drilled in my head. Like I said, that's something. Let's talk a little bit about money. You guys want to talk a little bit about money? Everybody wants to be money. Here's an ideal. Stephen Scott, richest man who ever lived. Who is that?
King Solomon.
King Solomon. Right, correct. Who knows Gary Smalley? He does marriage seminars. He's 20, 30 years as far as marriage therapy. He challenged Stephen Scott. He's fresh out of college, lost 6 of his first jobs within 2 years. Do you think of him as being kind of
as a loser. Gary Smalley challenged him. He says, do you want to be smarter than any of your bosses will ever be? He goes, well, yeah, sure. And he goes, do you want, to have a successful life? He goes, yeah. He says, he challenged him. He says, the next 30 days, you read Proverbs. One chapter every day. There's 31. And every day, and then start over. And said, you do that for 2 years, he says, you will be smarter than any of your bosses. And then he said, you'll be a millionaire within 5 years. Stephen Scott went on to, within 2 years, he was a millionaire. It's a fascinating story. And he goes through Proverbs and he talks about all the lessons that he learned in Proverbs. About, just to give an example here. I can't think of one right offhand, but I got some. I was looking for the exact Proverbs, but a quiet spirit will turn away wrath. I don't know which one it is. You ever get into an argument and somebody's yelling at you? Do you yell back at them? He talks about it. A quiet spirit. If you can talk quietly, you automatically, that's in God's Word. He tells you. Very interesting book. He goes through this. About how the struggles he's had and how the mistakes he made. How he lost fortunes. He's a multimillionaire. Very inspirational story. He turned around and inspired Gary Smalley into doing the Seven Keys to a Marriage seminars. And then turned around, he impacted Gary Smalley to where he impacted millions of people as far as in marriages. Because he helped him write the book. Stephen Scott took all that he learned and turned it back on Gary Smalley. Very interesting book. He said today, a man that doesn't read is not a leader. If you want to be a leader, start to read. As you're out of college, now is when the studying starts. And there's nobody over your shoulder. Crown Financial, your money counts. It's a huge ministry. Get some of their material. If you talk about finances, we didn't talk a lot about that today. I'm sorry, Aaron, but hopefully that's what I just want to get into. Some of this will give you some keys. I think it carries through to personal devotions. Now, here's a story as far as me. When I was young, I made a commitment that I wasn't even a Christian as far as, and I came from my dad. Is not to borrow money. I've never made a car payment in my life. And I've driven some fairly nice vehicles. As far as auto body repair, I take Rex one, I drag them out of the salvage yard, I pay a third of the price, spend a lot of time fixing them up, and I drive. All my kids have driven wrecked cars that I fixed. And they're nice cars. They all drive Camrys. I bought my house when I was like 28 years old. I paid for it in 5 years. That's the only time I borrowed money. I couldn't. And what I did was I bought a fixer-upper. And I spent the years, as far as me and my wife, as far as working on it and fixing it up. And then I put it on a payment plan. I put it on like a 15-year or a 7. I put it like 7 years. And then I every little money I got, I put on it. And I had it done. I set a goal of 7 years. I did it in 5. These are little things that, learn. I didn't live in a huge, it was a farmhouse. It was nice, livable. It wasn't a rundown shack. But I ended up, we remodeled the whole thing. And I spent close to $100,000 remodeling it. So I got quite a bit of money in it. But I paid for it as I went. Buy fixer-up houses. You always see it on TV, flipping houses.
What if you're not a fixer-up person? I'm kind of when it comes to that kind of stuff.
But can you paint?
Not very well.
You can. Now listen.
I just bought kitchen tables and they came like, and I had to put them together and I freaked out and I called my sister-in-law and she had to come help me put them together.
Well, I agree there. But you got to get creative. Don't fall in the trap thinking you got to have that $200,000 home and that you can afford an $1,800 a month payment. I tell you, if I was tied up in doing that, I couldn't have time to do. I'd be working in Stone instead of going at nights to the college and to the high school. It freed up my time. I don't have a large debt. I've been debt free for 10 years. I don't have a huge house, but we like it. I look at probably building another one. But don't fall into that trap as far as you got to have it now. It's not about you. What does God want you to do? Oh yeah, here's another thing. Commit to tithing. That's a principle in Proverbs. And I don't have the verse right in front of me. You can't outgive God. Start small. I don't care how much you're going to give between you and God. If you're in high school, and if you've got a job, you should be giving. And if you don't have a lot, you should be giving 10%. Well, I don't know how to present it, but you should be saving also. Even if you don't have money, you still should be saving also. Save up for that car before you buy it. Set some goals, you know. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
But that's the stuff I've gotten out of this. Crown Financial. A lot of stuff here. Any other questions? I know, this gets long. I hope the video helped out a little bit. And we get too long. Yeah. I did it. Okay. Now, guys, I'm not computer. It was a stretch for me. There's misspelling in it. It's actually the first time that I've done word processing, which is pretty pathetic.
I can guess that.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know. But it was enough. You're a perfectionist. You're engineering. Engineering's got to have everything perfectly. They'll have everything right in the row. Or not engineering, but electrical. You want to have all the wires. You're going to be an electrician, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so all the wires have to be run.
I went to school with a guy that was an electrician, and he was going back to be an accountant. There's no way I could ever do something like that, which is why I'm glad there are people that do that can do that, because I can't do it.
Oh.
I was down in Mississippi, there were people, and they'd be like, do that, and that. And I'd be like, wait, slow down.
See, that's another thing. See, I put in 60 hours a week as far as working, too.
Yeah.
So do this in your free time.
I don't mind putting in the hours. I just can't do that kind of hour work.
Oh. But here's another thing for finance. As far as meeting needs, here's another story. As far as all three of my kids we homeschooled. And that's another whole story, too, how God worked in that. That was just purely by chance. I didn't set out to do that. But my kids were coming up for college. I had no money saved up for college. You think, well, that was pretty poor. I don't know. I figured they were going to have to pay. I said, you're going to have to pay for it on your own. I don't got the money. You know? And anyway, my first son, and he said he wanted to go to the university. I said, well, let's just go by faith. And we stepped out on faith. But actually, we did some planning. I says, all right, Scott. I says, you're 16. I says, you need to be working through your summers. And then you need to be saving up and working part-time. And every bit of money that you save up, I want to go to your college education. And I will provide you a car. I will provide you a cell phone. I'll provide you insurance. Those are the three things that I provided. And And he worked his way. He's an engineer now. He come out of school, and then so we ended up, I gave us basically as much as we could, you know, as far as tuition, and then what he put in, and then he was also working, and he ended up with a $12,000 debt, student loan debt. So, and he's got that pretty much paid off in his first year. He landed an engineering job over in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Excited about it. Cassie, my daughter, did the exact same thing. She works with school. She had like $6,000 debt. She graduated from the University of Omaha. And now she's working with Boys Town, working with young girls. They're paying half of her student loan, and so she's down, like, she only has to pay $3,000 back. But no, he did not get huge debts, you know. What I'm saying is we slowly work through it. Alan, he's at the university right now. He just landed an RA position down there. He's paying for half of his schooling. And with that and what he has got saved, he should come out of school without no debt. Which I think is awesome. But I've seen how God just opened up. He's got the RA position, which is just huge for us as far as paying a position.
My dad told me, once you leave the house, you're on your own. Good luck. But even in grade school, we'd get our allowance, and you would 50% had to go in savings, and at least 20% had to go in giving to whatever I ever.
Awesome.
Whatever I earned. And so by the time I graduated from high school, I had enough, and then I worked through college too, so I got through with zero debt. And I'm 2 months out of college, and I actually have quite a bit in the bank right now. So, and that's one of those things, like when I bought my vehicle when I was a junior in college, I paid cash for it because at that point, I was trying to work through my finances and how I could get out of college without any debt and what I could afford and what that next payment was going to be. And like I said, a lot of it was tight because I did have that budget of what I could spend, when I could spend it, and how much. And the vehicle was a big blow to my savings account, but it was one of those things in the end.
But you had the money.
I got a summer internship last summer that I made quite a bit of money off of, and I ended up making, I think, $10,000 to $15,000 off of that, which basically took care of all my problems for that fall because I didn't really know what I was going to do. And it all worked out.
Awesome. What about you guys, your college? You're going to graduate?
I think I'm in grad school now. I'm more or less living in LA. It's
a yeah.
Most of my savings, so I'm actually on the price of taking loans at this point.
Have you got most of your college paid for, or do you have a huge debt? Well, then, no, that's awesome. Anytime you get through college and not have a huge debt, what about you, Sam?
I'm
in debt?
I'm living the life of luxury.
You're out of college now, right?
No, I'm a junior in college.
Junior.
So just through scholarships and my father saved for
me. But you got some scholarships.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's another way to go.
Yeah.
That's smart. Nice. I just worked out in high school, so I got free tuition and the rest of it. And I got an engineering scholarship.
Well, that's awesome too. See, this is.
He's a smart one.
But
my first year paid, and after that, I was a little bit behind my sister, though.
What about you, Matthew?
We know that.
You guys are
sick. You go to the next internship?
Yeah.
Say what's up with that.
About $5,000 into a freshman group.
Oh.
And if you work it smart, you can get zero interest-bearing loans.
Yeah.
And after, over that 5 years, you can put that money into a money market fund or something and get, right now it's like 0.25%, but back when I started, it was like 2 or 3 or 4%. And over that 4 or 5 years, you can get actually quite a bit of interest. And then when you pay it back, that's a good
thing. See that, you're looking at it. Here's another thing, Roth IRAs. I've done some financing. Anybody into Roth IRAs? Savings? What's a Roth IRA is where you can put money into an investment account, and that any money that grows over the next 40 years will be tax-free. I started Roth IRAs for all three of my kids, and I've put money into them, and I'm working to the deal with the fact that I'm telling them that that will be your inheritance. So by the time they reach 59 years old, I put an investment of hope. I'm shooting for $5,000 apiece. I've got like $2,000 to $3,000 apiece in and out. And they're in Roth IRAs that are in the market. The market's doing terrible, but
yeah.
But over the next 40 years of growth, of compound interest, you're looking anywhere from $60,000 to $100,000. But anyway, that's something that I've planned for a long-term goal.